You're listening to In Focus on 107.7 The Wolf. I'm John Damschroeder, and my guest today is Kent Scarrett, the executive director of the Ohio Municipal League. The Municipal League represents the cities and villages throughout the state, and it's a very big job. There are 938 municipalities in Ohio. 8.5 million Ohioans live in one of these municipalities, and 80% of our businesses are located in a city or village. Theoretically, Kent, those facts should give the Ohio Municipal League a lot of juice, as they say, but in reality, power has been shifting away from local jurisdiction to the state for many years. What are the ramifications of the Columbus power grab, Kent?
Well, you know, universally, the power grab, as you stated, is usurping the ability of residents to influence the way that their communities run, the way that they react to certain situations, or really allow residents to drive policy that's important for their communities through the powers of home rule that is granted Ohio municipalities through Article 18 of the Ohio Constitution. And those home rule authorities have been challenged, have been usurped, have been taken away by the State General Assembly and a whole myriad of fronts and issues that our communities deal with every day. And this is happening not only in Ohio, but it's also happening across the country. Other states are experiencing the preemption of local authority and local control by their state legislatures, and it continues to grow, it seems.
The top policy goal on your agenda is getting the local government fund restored to the historic norm. The city of Toledo is gearing up for a ballot issue to raise the local income tax by another 0.5% to take the total to 2.75%. Now, is there a connection, Kent, between the multitude of local tax increases and the large cuts over extended time to the state's revenue sharing method with local governments?
Well, we saw dramatic cuts and really disproportionate cuts to the local government fund in the first budget that was presented by Governor Kasich. And the local government fund was reduced by over $550 million. And this aid went, it's non-discretionary funds, so it can be used by communities in ways that address challenges in their budgets that are different in some communities or can be the same. 70% of our revenue goes towards our first responders, to safety service personnel and services. So those cuts dramatically impacted response times, the stability of our first responding personnel, and has been a great challenge to communities who were already struggling economically, coming out of the 1990s, the early 2000s, with the economic slowdown. So this was a significant blow to the ability of communities to deliver services as they had in the past. And it's unfortunate that the state felt that they wanted to make up their budget shortfalls at the expense of our community.
So what happens to economic competitiveness of local communities when the financial assistance from the state is going backwards?
Well, our municipalities are truly the economic engines of Ohio. As you referenced in the beginning, 80% of Ohio businesses are located in a city or village. So businesses locate to a municipality, we are made up of, Ohio is very municipal-centric. We have a lot of municipalities. So we are the welcome mat and the incubator and the landing spot for businesses and economic development. When services are challenged and the delivery of services are challenged, when roads are not up to what we would think are acceptable standards, that all reflects poorly on the ability of the state and whole to retain and attract businesses currently and in the future. It also prevents municipalities the opportunity to invest in themselves and to be a host for future workforces and for the current millennial workforce, and provide services and opportunities that will attract and keep a vibrant, strong workforce. So it really challenges the state on an economic development front when you defund and you present financial challenges to the places where our businesses are located.
Now, when John Kasich was governor and pushing these big cuts through the Ohio General Assembly, the narrative used to sell lawmakers on such big change was that cities and villages were not really good managers, and the state reductions would be a good way to force efficiency upon these municipalities. Does Governor DeWine have that viewpoint?
Well, I'll tell you that there's been a significant change in, I think, the attitude and the willingness to have a working relationship with our local governments from the administration. Governor DeWine has talked about the importance of the legislature respecting local control. He's talked about the importance of our communities being able to have ordinances that reflect the values and the cultures of our communities. So we've seen about a 180-degree difference in the previous administration from, you know, being kind of more of a talking-down-to approach, and from this administration that is more of a collegial, more of a engaged kind of relationship so far.
These cuts all came during the days of politicians promising to run Ohio like a business. And there are many structural changes to Ohio government, all of which were sold as crucial to bringing more prosperity to Ohio. But when businesses need to cut costs, they eliminate jobs, they stop doing research and development, they don't replace old equipment or real estate, and they often search for a buyer to take them out of the enterprise. What do cuts look like when municipal government is, you know, pushed into this box of running like a business?
Well, capital is always crucial to running a business. And our capital source or source of how we operate in Ohio for municipalities is the income tax, the municipal income tax. So we have over 600 cities and villages in Ohio that has its own independent municipal income tax. And so when cuts are made from the state, and it's not only the cutting in half of the local government fund, it was also the elimination of the Ohio estate tax, which represented about $250 million annually for municipalities across the state, and other changes in tax policy that were made at the same time in this budget, they all reduced revenues. They all put the pressure to generate revenue locally, and that local revenue generation source is the municipal income tax. So, a lot of communities have been forced to raise their income tax to meet the challenges of the changing relationship between the state and its local partners. It also forced communities to change different credit systems or initiate other levies or fees to make up revenues so that there wouldn't be these dramatic cuts in the delivery of services. So it's the pressure all becomes much more focal and centralized on the local taxpayer to make up those differences. And so that is, you know, when the state's cutting their support for communities, the local taxpayer is really the person holding the bag.
Now, Ohio's at ground zero of the opioid crisis that has sparked national lawsuits and some multi-million-dollar settlements. How big an issue has that been facing this new problem at a time of economic hardship for Ohio municipalities?
Well, this has been, I tell you, this has been a scourge across our state and every community and every county And every municipality obviously has been touched in many different ways by the opioid addiction crisis. These settlement conversations are important. We have over 100 of our municipalities that have joined over 2,000 local governments that are suing the drug manufacturers. So these dollars that we hope will be coming into our communities to offset what our communities have been spending significantly on the front lines of treating the addiction source and treating the consequences of addiction. So it really has been a difficult time with reduced revenues, reduced budgets, and now this new significant budgetary strain in many different ways. And it's not only just treating the addict, it's also the effects on economic development and the ability for our communities to have a stronger employment base. So it's widespread, the impacts, but we are optimistic that some of these lawsuits and some of these, litigious activity that is seeking recovery will help alleviate some of these financial pressures, but it absolutely will not make our communities whole.
Well, as it's becoming clear that there is going to be a revenue stream for cities from the opioid settlements, are cities looking to your organization for help on how to get the most bang for the buck from any new money that would be coming their way?
Well, you know, obviously this is a very timely conversation, and we've been working with the governor's office and Attorney General Yost and a number of lawyers who are representing coalitions of local governments to determine how the state will be prepared when these lawsuits are settled, when settlements are made, and how these dollars, one, will not go to the General Assembly, because we've had very difficult experience with the General Assembly's management of settlement dollars that were supposed to be put into programs such as the tobacco settlement a number of years ago. There was a high degree of mismanagement by the state of how those dollars were supposed to be spent for smoking-related issues, but instead went to other state-related issues such as fixing a budget hole. So it's important that any settlement dollars are not managed by the state legislature, but there is an agreed-to structure of all the parties that are involved, that these dollars are directly sent into our communities. So it's something that we continue to work on, the framework of how the percentage of proportions would be for whatever dollars are received. But there's a lot of unknowns, because we're not even sure how much we're talking about for future settlement revenues that we could be distributing throughout the state.
Ken, on a list of 20 U.S. cities that have gotten poorer since 1970, four are in Ohio. Toledo, Dayton, Cleveland are all in the top 10. Cincinnati is number 13. Columbus, meanwhile, making huge news in the Wall Street Journal as the fastest-growing city in the Midwest. Is there a connection between the concentration of state power and money in Columbus and the economic decline of these other Ohio cities?
Each of our municipalities, especially our large municipalities in Ohio, are unique. They're unique by geography, that has different factors that it presents. They are also unique in, I think the historical framework of those communities. I think Columbus has certainly had some advantages by the location of state government being located in Columbus as our state capital. The Ohio State University and some of the things, the ancillary issues, economic development issues that were brought there. I think it's very important what Honda has done to Central Ohio and Marysville and how that has impacted all Central Ohio. Our communities are different. I think, you know, there is some validity and that Columbus has benefited from other corporations like Nationwide, of course, and other Fortune 500 companies that have made Central Ohio their home. So for the availability of infrastructure, being in the center with 70 and 71 going through, I think it's been an attractive place for businesses to locate just by proximity of the state and the rest of the Midwest. I think they've certainly benefited from that geographic location as well.
You know, normally, though, you would expect the disparity of resources provided by the state to the benefit of Columbus because, you know, if it stays with the state, it's good for Columbus. You would expect that to be a much bigger political issue than it is. My theory is that political competition is really withered in Ohio to such an extent that it's an economic development challenge. There's no major Ohio urban center that's not totally controlled by the Democrats, and the state government is a total Republican enterprise. Many of the business leaders around the state make campaign contributions to both and effectively help perpetuate the lack of political competition. Do you share my concern about this issue?
I think your observation is accurate. I cannot argue with that. I think that, you know, certainly the nature of our communities, the nature of our domicile preferences have changed historically. The state is red. I agree with that. And our legislature reflects that in the continued dominance of the Republican Party in both chambers and in the governorship. And our big cities are blue. As the economic engines and where business is located, you know, the state relationship has become fractured with our big cities, and there has been a challenge to engage, or, you know, and certainly in the previous administration, it was challenging for our big cities to engage with the administration and the General Assembly because of those differences in the political dynamics. So I think Ohio has a long way to go in how campaign finance is addressed. It certainly is a tale of two cities, so to speak, when you're looking at the state as a whole and then where policy is really being driven on the local level.
You know, if you look back at Ohio's governors, Frank Lauschi, former mayor of Cleveland, Mike DeSalle, former mayor of Toledo, Jim Rhodes, former mayor of Columbus, George Voinovich, former mayor of Cleveland, how much easier is it to have a productive partnership between city and state when the office holders have been on both sides of that relationship?
We have very strong leaders in our municipalities right now. Every one of our big cities is led by an extremely competent and professional leader in the mayoral position and the administrations, the councils themselves. But there is such a disconnect going on with the General Assembly and in this case, our big cities, and those that you identified as our big city leaders who later became our state leaders, There is such a them against us mentality. And I'll tell you, that is changing, and it's changing because of the current administration. There is a greater willingness to engage now with big city leaders, I think. And I think that it's changing in our General Assembly because of the leadership that's being shown on the 30th floor in the governor's office. But there used to be, and it's changing, but, you know, there's still some of this just by the very nature of how the state house is composed through its bicameral leadership. It's been difficult for our big city leaders to feel like we're all rowing in the same direction. We didn't used to have that. And I think term limits has also played a part in this and has further created a gulf between understanding or trusting some of those that they may not have the same political perspective. We are hopeful that we'll have more municipal big city leaders continue their statewide service because that voice is so important and that experience is so important. But it's changed a lot, and it hasn't always changed for the better, I think.
Is it possible anymore to go from mayoral to, you know, statewide office, given this us against them mentality that extends itself into the campaign arena?
I think it is, because we've seen, you know, I mean, there's been significant changes in voting practices within the Republican Party. You know, we've seen new influences become much more significant and change the way some elections have come out. So I think that the Ohio electorate is always changing and is a very smart body. I think the Ohio voter is very intelligent. And right now, I think it could be a few years, but there's always an opportunity because of the strong talent pool that's out there in our leadership of our cities. The talent is so strong and so grounded in Ohio values that I absolutely think that the state would benefit from more statewide activity of our local leaders. And I think the parties would benefit as well.
One of the big issues here along Lake Erie in northwest Ohio is the contamination of our water from farm runoff draining into the lake. Governor DeWine has announced a voluntary effort with farm groups and a state funding source to help create buffers that protect the lake. But the drinking water for so many people is tied to a voluntary program. Is that good enough?
You know, this has been a significant issue, as you know, for a number of years. And there's been a lot of frustration with the level of what has been perceived as inactivity, or really getting to the heart of the problem on really having a sober and honest look at where the contribution source really is. I think we all, you know, and having those partners engage more on a solution. I think it's been difficult. This is a very, very political issue. I think Governor DeWine in his budget with the H2O fund was very ambitious in his forecasting the investment by the state in water source treatment and runoff treatment and really getting at the problem. I think there's more conversations coming. with water safety and water contaminant levels. PFABs is a conversation that's coming, that is a microsystem in water that is all over and is a concern that the state hasn't dealt with before. So this is a very significant conversation for our municipalities as a water source and a water provider. So there's more work to do when we're talking about Lake Erie and who is contributing, what is contributing to the contamination levels and how an abatement program could be successful. I don't think we're there yet. I think the governor is pushing this conversation, and I think the right people are at the table, but certainly this is something that is going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take a lot of investment, and especially investment on the agriculture side of the conversation to really have effective abatement programs.
You know, there was a time that I was Ohio's marketing strategist for economic development, and I always thought the business world replaces the comma between city and state in an address with either a plus or a minus. Is the comma between Toledo and Ohio a plus or a minus right now?
I think it's now, I think it's a plus. And I think, again, I mean, the current administration, I think, has really leaned in and has really taken a hat-in-hand approach to wanting to work with our communities and repair the challenges that we had experienced over the last 10 years or 8 years in working with some aspects of state government. And so from a state local relationship, I think that the plus is getting stronger with Toledo. I think the opportunities are getting much better with Toledo. And I think that the willingness to work with Toledo is on much, much firmer ground than it has been in the past.
Thank you, Kent Skerritt, Executive Director of the Ohio Municipal League, for joining us today on In Focus. Good luck in strengthening this vital link between city and state.
John, it was a pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.